You know, the name of Jesus is precious.
Amen.
Name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, precious Jesus. We're so glad you're chosen to worship with us today, whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're out in the parking lot or listening later on the website. We're so glad you're here. We're glad to have those who are visiting with us. We just pray that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. You know, he knows what you need. He knows what I need. And we pray that he'll, knowing that he loves us and that he's desirous to speak, and may we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills to obey. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you for your sweet presence. Now, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God might guide and direct in all that's sung, prayed, spoken, preached. Lord, may our hearts and ears spiritually be tuned to you. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our friend. Lord, may we leave here encouraged. May we leave here enthused. May we leave here empowered to follow you and bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. Good to see the smiling faces, and you're here in your places, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We welcome you as our visitors. You're our special guest, and we welcome you today for sure. As we do every Sunday morning, it's traditional now, we have a hymn sing. And our hymn sing this morning is on page 572, if you want to do that, or you're free to watch on the wall. The lyrics will be on the wall. I love to tell the story. Indeed, we do. As we stand and sing together, all three verses, please.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above.
thank you. And everybody said, amen. Welcome somebody this morning, if you would, please. That's good. Well, as I said, it is a good morning. It's a good morning to be in the Lord's house. And we want to share with you some announcements now that's upcoming. And I'll try my best, Jeff, to do a little better job of following along with the screen than I've done in the past. I jump all over the place, and I don't know why I do that, but I guess it's just me. But anyway, I will start with the Annie Armstrong, if that's all right. We'll start with Annie Armstrong Easter offering for the month. We are continuing on with this for the month. And Brenda, how are we doing? We got 1090 so far, and we got a 15. I think we can do that, don't you all? We definitely will. For our $1,500 is our goal, so do that. Don't forget the sign-up sheet for the choir if you're interested in on that. And then today, of course, is our quarterly conference, and we want you to. That will be right after the message today, so please stay and be ready for that today on quarterly conference. The Golden Age, we're planning to go out on the 27th, on next Thursday, and we're going to go up into Denton at the Classic Family Restaurant, and that's where you eat that you just can't eat anymore. And that's all I can tell you, and it will be good on Thursday's old pork chop day, so y'all just love pork chops. Come on, be with us. We'd love to have you go with us. We'll leave here at the church at 10:30. I will probably go, as many as we've got signed up, we'll probably be doing a van. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So I'm going to go next week and try to take care of that Monday for that. Okay. Now, I've got the Baptist men. Baptist men are planning. You want to talk about the pancake for Mother's Day? What you're planning?
Hey, come. We're going to do sort of the same schedule except for the cooks as we get for Easter. Get here in time.
Yeah, and just hope I don't pass out. That's all you need. All right. Okay, so we got something to look forward to. We're going for Mother's Day. We're going to have some pancakes, and I know you're going to be happy with that, right? She's smiling already. All right. April 30th will be communion. Another communion service. That'll be, revival services. Let's don't forget revival services are going to be coming up May the 7th through the 10th, and Reverend Kenny Wallace will be here preaching the revival. So that will be wonderful. There's some thanks that we like to say thank you to people for. You know, I always like to say that I say thank you to people. I give you the roses while you can smell them. I believe that's a good thing to do, We want to thank all of you that helped with last Sunday's breakfast and all the hard work that went into it and preparing it. But then after that came the cleanup time, Jeff. And we had the service and we continued on with the service, there was a couple folks down there working very, very hard to make sure that it was cleaned up. And Chris and Michael, we thank you so much for what you did. And I tell you, that was wonderful, because I went down and starting to roll my sleeves up and there was nothing to do. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for all that everybody did to make that a successful day. We appreciate it very much. Have I overlooked any announcements at this point? All right. Then we'll go to our prayer request. I know that there's still people hurting among us, and we need to remember them. Let's remember Stacy Talley. Stacy took a fall, and she's got quite a lot of stitches. David, I know I saw a picture yesterday. David, how's she doing?
Yes, she got 14 stitches, and it's right on her shin bone, so she's got to be real careful.
I told her yesterday when I was talking to her yesterday by text, and she said that she had to be careful not to pop a stitch. And when she showed me the picture, I told her, I said, well, I was trying to find something humorous to say, but I can't find anything humorous to say about that. It's so sad looking. I said, besides, if I'd say something funny, you might pop a stitch. So I ended up doing it anyway.
I told her she's not wearing socks and boots, so she's
going to get by sharp. It looked just about that bad. It really did. But let's remember Stacey. I'm glad she's hanging in there and getting better. And she's been treated. Brother Kenny goes back tomorrow. Brother Kenny will be going back tomorrow to make sure he's got the all clear signal from all those stones that were crushed up in your body. And so you'll be all clear and ready to get back to a normal life. Right, Kenny? You know you're ready. I know you are. Let's remember Donna's stepmother, Montese Whitley. Montese, for some of you know, Mary Donna's dad, and she's a wonderful person. I've been blessed with some good mom-in-laws in my lifetime, and she's one indeed. But she's had a light heart attack yesterday, and she's 96 years old. So even a light heart attack can be a serious, serious thing with her. So let's remember Montese Whitley this morning. All right, are there others this morning that I need to remember? Yes, Lori. Yes, I should remember that. Penny Smith. She's one who had the brain bleed. Okay, I'm sorry.
Judy Smith. Her daughter is Pam and Wesley Kidd. She had a stroke this
week. So Judy is the one? Okay.
Judy, yeah, she's a very sweet
lady. Okay. Judy Smith, stroke, okay. Are the others? Yes. Go ahead.
My mom does home care and stuff. She sits with him. You need to pray for him because he ain't doing big good.
I'm sorry, again, with the name?
Bill.
Bill.
He's already on the prayer request, but
okay.
He needs some extra prayer because he ain't doing good. Yeah, he ain't. Hospice called in last week or a week before, or was it? You know,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and he ain't doing big good. They gave him 2 weeks, but we went in yesterday. My mom's day off, and he ain't doing not good at all. It might be days, it might be weeks. We just don't know yet, but he ain't doing a big good at all right now, so we just need to pray for him.
Okay, Bill.
Talbert.
Yes, okay.
Sir.
Okay. All right. Yes, Evan.
He has had a heart Tuesday.
I'm sorry, who please?
My brother Houston.
Houston, okay. All right. Others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, please. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are indeed thankful, always thankful, Lord, for a Lord's day. Thankful for a time, Lord, that we can assemble ourselves, as you have reminded us there's a need for, to assemble ourselves together, that we might share with each other, that we might draw from each other's strengths, and then we might love each other and help each other along. And now, Lord, I thank you for this time, a time of worship, a time that we can still come and worship freely your holy name. But now, Lord, as we look as the list has been presented to us this morning, Lord, we know that there is a need among us. And we know, Lord, that you expect us to ask, even though you know all the needs, all the specific needs. But Lord, as we ask you this morning, we want to lift these up to you this morning. We want to ask, Lord, you bless Stacy this morning as she's recuperating from her fall and the stitches, Lord. We pray for her. We thank you for Brother Kenny, Lord, and he's had a time, Lord, to battle these kidney stones. But now, Lord, it appears, Lord, that he's about to may hold again. And we thank you for your blessings upon him already. Now, Lord, we ask you to be with him tomorrow. We pray for Miss Montese Whitley, Lord, this morning, Lord, as she is suffering from a heart attack, Lord, we pray for her. We pray for healing for her body. We ask a special blessing, Lord, for Penny Smith, and we know, Lord, that she's home and doing better, but we still know that she has a long ways to go. We pray for her. We pray for Miss Judy Smith, Lord, with a stroke, Lord, we ask that you would touch her body. Bill Talbert, Lord, who is the one that was told us this morning, is the hospice has joined him, Lord. We know, Lord, that you're in control, and we ask, Lord, that your will be done in his heart and his life. And then we ask for a special blessing upon Evan's brother Houston as he goes in now, Lord, for heart cath. We ask, Lord, for good results if it be your precious will. As we go forward in the service today, Lord, we want to be thankful, Lord, for those who will be taken apart. We ask your blessing upon Kathy, Lord, as she'll be coming, Lord, to conduct us in our praise music. And then, Lord, for Pastor Ed, we always are mindful to lift him up to you. We know, Lord, that he seeks his strength from you. He seeks his guidance from you. And we pray, Lord, that you will give that to him this morning, as always you do. Now, Lord, as we pray a special blessing upon all of us, Lord, as we continue on in the service today, and all the things that happen, Lord, all the good things that will happen, we'll be very, very careful to always remind, be mindful that you did it all yourself for us, that we might have a blessing ourselves. And this prayer I make in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Miss Kathy is a part of our praise team, and I've asked Miss Kathy to come this morning and share with you our praise music this morning. So, Kathy, if you will come and bless our hearts, please.
Good morning. I was praying about what to sing today and chose one that we all know, Holy Ground. And when it was put in my head, I thought, you know, I think so much about Miss Pamela and miss her. And I know that she loved the song, and the song was sang at her funeral and by her granddaughter. And so anyway, if you'll stand up with me and let's sing praise to God and thank him for us being in Holy Ground.
children going to children's church. I know the buildings have changed over the years, but how many sermons have been preached in this spot in the last 140 years? How many prayers have been prayed? How many songs of praise have been sung to Jesus? But of course, holy ground is anywhere. You are in the presence of Jesus. You could be sitting on your couch or in your recliner, in your car, your truck, wherever you are, the presence of Jesus makes it holy. You know, last week we talked about the resurrection, crucifixion, the trial, and all of those things that we celebrate and remember and honor about Jesus that has to do with Easter weekend. It's the most important event that ever happened in human history. Because without it, there would be no hope. If I ask you, well, what difference does it make? You might say, well, my sins can be forgiven. I can have peace with God. I can be saved. I'll go to heaven when I die because I believe in Jesus. And every one of those are correct. Because all are worth celebrating. Our salvation, our heavenly home, everything's worth celebrating as we think about Jesus and what he did for us 2,000 years ago. Now today I want us to think about something else that's very, very important that has to do with that weekend. Now, the manifestation didn't totally come till just a little bit later, but there's something about the implication from the resurrection that's so powerful that we need to consider it in our own lives. And it's a truth that I'm not sure many Christians really comprehend. So if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now it's very... It's so interesting. This morning I cranked the car, backed out of the drive, and my phone rang. It was a lady my age from another town, lady I've known more than 50 years, lady that's in church every Sunday. She's teaching a Sunday school class, teaches the older ladies in her church. And she said, "Ed, I need help." I thought, what's the deal? She said, "Our lesson today is on the Holy Spirit, and I don't know anything much about it. Our church doesn't teach much about it." And I spent from there basically St. Martin Luther Church trying to talk to her about the Holy Spirit and preached her part of the sermon that I'm about to preach to you. I mean, you know, what are the chances? And you see, what I'm about to say, I think some of us don't really get. We don't really understand about the awesome presence and power of the Holy Spirit that's available to us because of what took place 2,000 years ago on that Easter weekend. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Let's read verses 5-7. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul says, I don't talk about me, I talk about Jesus. He said, I'm just a servant. I want to talk to you about Jesus. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, he just harkens back to Genesis and says, there was darkness, God spoke, and there was light. And then Paul says, our hearts were dark. God put Jesus in our hearts, and suddenly our dark hearts had light. And we could see. And then he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. Paul says, we are earthen vessels. You know, the Bible says we are made of the dust of the earth. Sometimes at a funeral, the pastor will say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We return to the dust from whence we came. We're like clay pots. And some of us are more fragile than others. Some clay pots are better looking than others, but we're still clay pots. We're fragile, we're subject to sin, we're subject to disease, we're the subject to brokenness. And Paul says, in these clay pots, we have a treasure. A treasure. You can imagine, if you went out and started to plant some flowers in your backyard, and you went to digging and you looked down there and you said, well, somebody put a flower pot here, right here in this spot in the ground. And you dug around it and you pulled it up, it's full of gold coins. You'd get real excited. And the more gold coins were in that little pot, the better. You wouldn't care how old the pot was, how cracked the pot was. All you care about is the treasure. And the bigger the treasure, the more you're blessed. Paul says, we have a treasure in earthen vessels. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the treasure, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You say, well, the Holy Spirit's living in me, and he is. The Bible says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. We have that treasure. But do you realize how awesome that treasure is? Turn with me over in the book of Romans, chapter 8. And this is the point I'm not sure we get. Romans 8, beginning at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Did you catch what it says in verse 11? The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Amen. Now think about this for a minute. Just ponder over it. Who is the Spirit that dwells in you? How much power does the Spirit that dwells in you have? How much authority does that Spirit that dwells in you really have? Now, the Bible doesn't give us all the details of Easter morning. So I just tried to imagine something that I could share that maybe would help you picture it. Can you imagine Easter morning, the Holy Spirit shows up at the door of hell. He knocks on the door. The devil says, "What do you want?" He says, "I came after Jesus." Devil says, "You can't have him, he's mine." The Holy Spirit jerks the door of hell off its hinges, says one word, and the devil falls over prostrate on the ground. Holy Spirit says, "Come on, Jesus." And I remember how what used to be after some of our Sunday dinners, all of our little nieces and nephews would try to tackle my brother Roger. You know, there'd be about two around each leg and a couple around each arm, and he'd just shake them off. I can imagine a bunch of little demons grabbing around Jesus saying, "You can't go." And Jesus just shaking them off like nothing. And he walks out, and as he passes by the devil, he reaches down and he grabs up the keys of hell and death, according to Revelation. And he and the Holy Spirit head to Jerusalem. Powerful, death defeating, devil defeating, demon defeating, Holy Spirit lives in you. We need not go around saying, "But I'm so weak, I'm so powerless, I'm so helpless as a Christian." Are you kidding me? Paul just told you, not I didn't tell you, Paul just told you on the authority of Almighty God himself when he wrote Romans, the same Holy Spirit that brought forth Jesus from the dead lives in you if you're a believer. And that ought to give you confidence. That ought to give you power. That ought to give you victory. That ought to give you an amazing walk with God, not because of who you are, but because of who he is in you. We should be overcomers. We should be devil defeaters. We should be victorious. Go with me back to 2 Corinthians. I hope you didn't lose your place. Go with me back there. The last part of verse 7, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, last part of verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, folks, we'll never defeat the devil in our flesh. But the power of God that dwells in you should and could, ought to, lead us to a victorious life, an overcoming life. Rita preached about temptation this morning. You know, when temptation comes, you have somebody in you that'll help you overcome temptation that lost person doesn't have. Now, that lost person, that unsaved person, if they were taught some morals, may have a conscience that says you shouldn't do that. But you have the Holy Spirit of God, the devil-defeating Spirit of God living in you. And when temptation comes, you have an edge that a lost person doesn't have. Now, we can ignore the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I have to admit, there's times over the last 70 years when the Holy Spirit said, "Don't do that. I said, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, you may have never been that way, but I'm sure. But it was my choice to ignore the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that he didn't tell me not to do it. And then there are times when the Holy Spirit told me, you need to do this thing, and it wasn't have anything to do with temptation. And again, I had a choice to do it. But it's that great same Holy Spirit that lives within us that gives us victory. Now notice what Paul goes on to say in verse 8 and 9 and 10. We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul points out a very realistic view of life. He says, you know, there are times when you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, are going to be persecuted. There are times you're going to be in difficulty. But the Holy Spirit is going to bring you through to victory if you will allow him. You think about in Paul's life, you know, he's beaten, he's in the Philippian jail in the middle of the night, and he and Silas were singing praises to God, and suddenly an earthquake sets them free, and the jailer gets saved, and the jailer's family gets saved, and life suddenly changed. You think about Paul on that ship that's been in the hurricane for a couple of weeks. And finally, Paul calls all the crew together and he says, last night my Lord stood beside me and told me we're going to be okay. I mean, the wind's blowing and everything's going crazy. They don't know where they are in the ocean or the sea. But he says, it's okay. The Holy Spirit just told me everything's going to be okay. So the ship's going to crack up, but we're going to all be saved. From the beginning till now, it has always been that true Bible believers, true Christ followers, have been troubled, persecuted. And we are seeing this more and more in America today. I mean, you know, bakers that have refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, sued. Photographers who refused to photograph the wedding pictures for a same-sex couple, sued. A church in California that continued to have services and didn't make the people wear masks just got hit with a million and some $100,000 fine. Because they just stood up for their religious rights. And I'm not sure what the whole context was, and maybe some sports fans will know better, but there was a college basketball coach that quoted a scripture and got fired because the scriptures, it was one of those that talked about servants and slaves obeying their master, and they said he was offending the black folks on the team. And he was just quoting a scripture saying that we need to be diligent in our duties as a, and he was talking about, you know, they need to be disciplined and diligent in their duties as a member of the team. And he gets fired. So it's going on more and more in America where people are losing their jobs, people are being persecuted. People are being fined. Somewhere I read this week about some guy that was arrested for silently praying with his, you know, Catholic rosary beads outside of an abortion clinic. wasn't making any disturbance, just silently praying. Paul says, folks, be real. It's not going to be all a piece of cake, get saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then ride on the clouds of ease into glory. Paul says we're persecuted, but I love his attitude. We're troubled, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but even we don't understand things, we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but God does not forsake us. God is always there with us. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. Paul is saying, listen. Oh, and I love that last verse 10. Now, see, the last part of verse 7 says the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And the last part of verse 10, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, people can see Jesus in us. People can see that Jesus in us makes a difference. If we as believers would quit believing the devil's lies so that we're hopeless and helpless and undermanned and undergunned, and realize the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, we'd believe what Jesus told Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes we think we can't make much of a difference in the world. Well, if you think about what I wrote in the newsletter a few weeks ago, those that turn the world upside down have come hither also. They faced a world that was just as evil as our world, and they flipped it upside down. Because when they showed up, there's a revival, and usually then followed by a riot. But folks knew, these are Jesus folks. These are Jesus people. And they did it because they realized exactly what I've just shared with you. The same Holy Spirit that brought forth Jesus from the grave on Easter morning dwells in you. Now, to dwell means to stay there. We're not a hotel room where Jesus pops in and or the Holy Spirit pops in and out. He dwells in us if we're a believer. And folks, if we could just get it, not just in our heads, got to get it in our heads, but then down in our spirit, and begin to act upon it and live it, and allow that Holy Spirit, that wonderful Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our strength, our empowerment. We'd go forth with confidence. We'd go forth with joy. We'd go forth with power. And folks would look at our clay pots and say, boy, they're so full of Jesus. They're so full of Jesus. I know some people like that. It's just like, they're so full of Jesus that you don't even notice the clay pot. You think, wow, Jesus just bubbles, you know, all over and out and oozes out. And, you know, they're just so full of Jesus. And that's what we want to be. That's what Easter's all about. Oh, it's wonderful that he took away my sin and gave me a home in heaven. But I got to get from being saved to heaven. And I don't have to do it on my education, my Bible training, but I can do it through the indwelling presence of the one who raised Jesus from the dead. The devil could not, with all of his power, stop the resurrection. And with all of his power, he can't stop you or me if we will believe and walk in faith the awesome truth, the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If there is, would you just get up right from where you are and walk down the aisle, and I'll meet you there. And we'll talk about your decision. For the rest of us, could we just say, honestly pray, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for forgiving me my sin. Thank you, thank you, thank you for my home in heaven. Thank you, thank you, thank you that between the moment of salvation and my entrance into heaven, the same powerful Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Lord, I acknowledge his presence. I rejoice in his presence. I yield to his leadership. I thank you that I'm an overcomer, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of me. Lord, when I look in a mirror, I do see an old clay pot. But oh, Father, thank you for the treasure that lives in that clay pot. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.